1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's Todd Tomasella with Travis Bryan III. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good to be here with you this morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. A pleasure. Today, we're going to be talking about a piece you put together recently, and probably haven't been working on that for a while, actually. God's Universal Way of Fighting. This is very interesting. I've never heard this addressed. And this is a real interesting piece, Saints, that's really going to be fascinating, I believe. To your mind and your heart, as you're nourished in these scriptures, fellowshipping with other believers, as the scripture directs us to do specifically, in the Word is extremely important, Colossians 3:16. Now, Brother Travis, you started off with Jesus' words recorded on record in John 18:36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." John 18:36. Now, in general, that is just scripture that we need to ingest, wouldn't you say, Brother Travis, that God's way is not the way of the world?
Oh, we need to soak it in, Todd. We need to soak it up, because the Spirit of God is a spirit of peace and gentleness and kindness and love. And God fights not by killing, but by dying. This is the way he defeats the enemy. It's so counterintuitive to our natural mind thinking, Todd.
Well, the very statement there, the first part of that, my kingdom is not of this world. Scripture commands us to be not conformed to this world and the thinking of this world, obviously, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That transformation of our thinking is so important. Not only that, the spirit of it, Ephesians 4:23 and 24, uses the term the spirit of our mind, but we have to very well be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Holy Scriptures. And this is, one tells us that right here, because if not, we're out of tune with God, Brother Travis. Wouldn't that be right? Because his kingdom is not of this world.
Oh, absolutely. His kingdom and his reign and the principles of it are upside down to the world. That's where we've got to start, that it is totally reversed from the way the world thinks and the way the Christian lives and fights. A soldier of the cross fights in a way that is totally upside down to the world. He doesn't use coercion, threats, intimidation, retaliation. He doesn't use control tactics. He gives other people their freedom and fights through self-sacrificial love. This is the only way evil can be overcome. We overcome evil in the same way God does, which is we overcome evil with good.
Amen.
We do not fight eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We don't use violence. And if you'll notice, when Jesus comes back in these beautiful passages in the latter part of Isaiah, the violence and the killing stops. And when he comes back, the spears will be turned into pruning hooks and the swords into plowshares. And that happens at the cross, Todd. The cross, when you take up the cross and die on that cross, and out of that comes a new creation, a new mind. That newness of mind is a peace that the world does not know. So that when we are confronted with hatred, when we are confronted with violence, we respond with peace. We respond with unconditional love. And this is our weapon, Todd. This is what overcomes evil.
Yes, in fact, the Lord talks about he made peace by the blood of his cross. And having made peace by the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, quote, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, through the blood of his cross, the Prince of Peace made peace between God, holy God, and sinful man. And that seems to be the order of the day across the board. Mm-hmm. Brother, Matthew 26, you quote, verse 51 through 53, and behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Did you want to talk about that passage, brother?
Yes, brother. If there ever had been a time for violence to be used by God through Jesus Christ and through his servants, that would have been the time. Because here we have evil coming to arrest, incarcerate, and crucify the most innocent, wonderful man who ever lived. If there ever was a time for violence to be used, it was right at that moment. And of course, Peter, being a student of the Old Testament, he pulled his sword and struck off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus. Yeah. And Jesus replaced the ear and healed it and said, he who takes up the sword will die by the sword. And I think it's interesting, just as a little side note, that in the King James Version, which is beautiful, none of the other Bibles do this, it personifies that sword. It says his sword. That's a very interesting little word, H-I-S there, that personifies that sword. And, of course, that's Satan there. Put that sword up, because if you do that, you will die by that sword. You see, Satan died by his own sword. That's Hebrews 2:14, that through death, Jesus destroyed the one who had the power of death. That is Satan. So the cross is what defeats evil and violence and assault. And it's just a beautiful counterintuitive truth of the cross, Todd.
Hebrews 2:14, you begin to quote, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So the cross is the weapon of God, brother. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
And Todd, I want to drop down to this illustration I have with the story of Joseph Son, T-S-O-N, that it, this paragraph toward the bottom that's in the writing that you posted.
Yeah.
And just a comment on this, because Joseph Son understood this principle of the way we fight evil. The communists ordered Romanian Baptist pastor Joseph Son not to baptize or evangelize anymore. Son replied that he could not obey their directive. They then said, well, you know what happens to those who disobey the committee. Son replied, yes, I know what happens. Your greatest weapon is killing. My greatest weapon is dying. And here's a part of the quote I left off of the writing. Son then said, if you use your greatest weapon against me, I will use my greatest weapon against you. And that's the cross of Christ. He got this. He understood this, Todd.
Yeah, he did. Brother Matthew had a situation in his job that he had to just lay it all down. It looked really bad, too. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the details on that. And then God resurrected that thing. And it seems like that's what the tapestry of life, it's becoming more and more evident as we discuss these things, that there's a death, burial, and resurrection. There's a rhythm in life, and especially in the Christian life.
There is definitely a rhythm, Todd, and we die and rise with Christ, and it's a dance. We dance with our lover, Jesus Christ. We are his bride, and he is our husband. And sometimes the music slows down. It slows down to almost a death tone. But God has all those matters in hand. He's working things for good through those times. And then out of that comes growth. Out of that comes the flourishing of the vine. And we experience resurrection and joy and celebration. Todd, those are the high points. But we must understand that this thing is a rhythm, and it's going to go down before it goes up. We have to get down before we can come up.
Someone once said that the richest soil is in the vine. valley, and that would coincide with the romance we have with the Lord, if you will. I mean, after all, he created the romance between men and women. Brother Travis, you said God's nonviolent way of fighting is the cross of Christ. God's weapon against evil was not a sword he wielded. It was a sword on which he died. God's way of destroying his enemy is to let his enemy destroy him or himself, right?
The Lord trampled on his enemies by letting them trample on him. Now, let that soak in. But see, the resurrection came. His enemies were left behind, defeated, and he was exultant in victory through the cross.
Yeah.
But it came through this turning of the other cheek, the greatest example of turning the other cheek to defeat evil in history is the cross of Christ. God on Calvary turned his other cheek and absorbed our blows for us. He took our blame. And now we are to take up that same cross and absorb evil, not necessarily letting evil affect the way we live, but when those blows come to us, when those offenses, when those humiliations, when those put-downs, when those unfairnesses are thrown at us and hurled at us, we don't fight back. We don't respond in kind. We absorb those blows and let them die right there, Todd. And that stops the perpetuation of evil and violence right there. The cross of Christ is a standard of peace that when it prevails in the heart of the Christian, peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be a peacemaker in their culture and in their society and in their country and their city.
Again, Colossians 1:20, and having, speaking of Jesus Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross, there is only one Prince of
Peace.
We cannot have peace outside of him, and we must do things his way. Hebrews 2:14 says that through death, Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. He took on flesh and blood, the divine being we know as Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. And Brother Travis, as you mentioned, we read in 1 Corinthians 2 that the enemy would never have done this if he knew his defeat was coming at the hands of crucifying the Lord of glory.
Amen, Todd. And notice there that God destroyed something there in that Hebrews 2:14. Read that verse again, and then let me comment on the word destruction, Todd.
Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Notice there, God is destroying. God is violent. God is vengeful in that verse. He's destroying evil, but he's doing it in a way that human beings don't understand. He's doing it through the cross. He is rendering the devil powerless and defeated by dying, not by killing. I mean, he could have wiped out the devil a long time ago if that was his way, but that's not his way. His way to victory is through dying. And so he destroyed the work of the devil through his death. John 12:31 says, on the eve of his death, he said, Satan is about to be cast out, or the prince of this world is going to be cast out. What cast him out? Did Jesus take him and violently throw him out? No, he didn't. He died, and that's what cast out Satan, his death.
And Jesus said that when he's lifted up, in the next verse, John 12:32, he would draw all men unto himself through the blood of his sacrifice, whereby he made peace. He alone made peace between the Father and the Godhead, if you will, with fallen
mankind.
So I'm wondering, as you talk here, how it relates where many of us have experienced where somebody came at us with a violent weapon in the natural, or some kind of threat of harm, and the Word of God spoken to them in peace brought a quenching. There's a video on YouTube in Frisco, Texas. It's all on film. You know, the security cameras caught the whole thing. Some guy walks in there with a gun into this lady's, I think, jewelry store or some kind of women's accessory. She didn't even hesitate. This spirit-filled woman put her finger out there, and he puts that gun at her. She preached him into complete arrest, if you will, and backed him out of that. This guy didn't know what hit him.
She preached him all the way out of her store.
When you live incredible. By this cross principle, Todd, and dying in the face of evil, and dying doesn't always mean physical death. It means you just decline to use earthly methods of control and manipulation and violation and violence. When you rest in Christ in that moment, God moves into that situation, Todd, and quells whatever that is. If death works in me, life can work in other people.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 12.
Death worketh in us, but life in you. We're in a spiritual warfare, aren't we, brother?
Oh, we are, Todd. We are. And I'd like to read some of these examples of the way God fights that are written in the writing here. God fights violent attack with peaceful response. And I was, just a minute ago, I was reminded of that verse as you spoke of that example. A soft answer turns away wrath. That's the truth of what that woman applied there in that moment. Hateful acts are fought with unconditional love. Someone striking your cheek are fought with turning the other cheek. Someone casting a blow at you are fought with absorbing the blow. Someone is arrogant towards you, we fight back with humility. Someone makes a selfish taking away from you, we fight back by giving ourselves away. Someone murders, we fight back with dying through faith. Angry speech, we fight with soft, loving response. Control and manipulation, we fight with giving up control. Self-seeking, we fight with dying to self. Someone imposing their will unlawfully, we give others their freedom of choice. Someone despitefully using you with blessing and prayer, we fight with blessing and prayer for this spiteful person. Todd, all evil is overcome through the cross of Christ. This is the most magnificent truth we could ever imagine.
I think it's an old song that's been brought back and redone, at the cross, at the cross. I surrendered my life. I'm in awe of you. What an absolutely intoxicating message and song.
I got intoxicated this morning just thinking about all this, Todd.
It's incredible.
My wife walked in, I had tears in my eyes and had my hand raised.
At the cross, brother, that's where it all happens. The great exchange, the very Son of God came and offered his very life on the altar of the cross to redeem you and I, who are completely and totally, me first, undeserving of this mercy. While we were yet sinners, Jesus came and bled for the sins of the world. And anyone listening who does not yet know this Prince of Peace, we want to encourage you and invite you to come and taste, partake of the water of life freely, to come and to surrender your life, acknowledging that you have sinned against God, as we all have. You've had other gods before him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the first commandment says, and completely exposes all of us as being idolaters. Third commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We've all done that. Also, thou shalt not steal. We've all stolen something. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If we look on a woman in lust, we've already committed adultery. Jesus said, thou shalt not covet. And thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. We've all done all these. We're completely and fully guilty and thereby separated from a holy God. But he gave his only begotten Son while we were yet sinners to bridge the gap and make peace between God and men. I want to encourage you to get down on your knees today and surrender your life to Christ, naming him as the Lord and Master and Savior of your life as you repent, or turn your whole life and throw it all in his lap, every ounce of it, of your being, saying, Lord, no longer me that lives,
but rather
Christ. Take over my life, Jesus. I believe you died and were raised again from the dead for my justification. And from this moment forward, I will follow you. Amen. If you want more info, safeguardyoursoul.com is a place you can go. Now, Brother Travis, again, you quoted Romans 12:21. And I got to tell you, that verse really helped me early on in my Christian walk.
We overcome evil with good, Todd. That's God's way. That's the way he overcomes evil. And when we take up his spirit and walk in it, that's the way we will respond to it. And the King James says, quoting Christ in Matthew chapter 5, he says, Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Woo, let that soak in. Resist not evil. That is the cross philosophy right there, Todd. Then he goes on with this. But whosoever smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. There it is, Todd. That's the way of the cross right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what he's talking about at the end there. And that's what he means by perfect when he says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The last verse of that chapter, he's talking about being mature, in other words, having the mind of Christ in these matters and loving your enemies, blessing them that curse you, doing good to them that hate you and pray for you. Colossians 3:3, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's the safest place in the universe. That's you and I. Our identity is in Christ. You are dead. Your life is over. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the safest, most beautiful place that we can be. Colossians 3:3. I also want to recommend, saints, that you memorize Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In that passage, that's the last verse of Romans 12, he says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. And then how God says, vengeance, I will repay. He is going to repay his way, his timing. Vengeance is mine. And we've got to resign ourselves to the fact that we're not the judge. God is the judge, not us. And I think it's because we're full of self that we think that we judge, Brother Travis, and that requires the cross to get that exterminated from our thinking and life.
All judgmentalism, Todd, came right out of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Legalistic thinking and judgmentalism is in our very nature, this sin nature that we have. Well, you know, young people don't want to go to these churches today because there's so much legalism and judgmentalism, and they know it's hypocrisy. And there's none of the really authentic, unconditional love and mercy in churches that welcomes all people, prostitutes, drug addicts, thieves.
Let the wisdom that is from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy, been treated, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy, be in us, and the fruit of righteousness will be sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3:17-18.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.